Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
And welcome to An Adventure in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here this evening with Mac Burns, Clatsop County Historical Society. And we have a very special guest for our best show ever.
This is going to be our best show ever.
The
There's
best
no doubt.
One.
We've got a down county, up county kind of thing going here.
We do, because we like both.
And we also have an every other week with a guest kind of thing going.
We're trying.
We haven't planned on that, but it's just kind of happened that way.
You haven't planned on it.
Well,
I was trying to plan on it.
We've established that you're the far more organized one of this group here.
Well, we have Lori Messfeld with us this evening from the Seaside Downtown Development Association. Welcome. Thank you for coming to our show.
Oh, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
So since this is going to be jam-packed, shall we get rid of the stay in history?
Let's get rid of it.
Okay, so you can feel free to comment if you want. Okay. And these are, of course, things that are happening tomorrow. Anniversaries of things tomorrow.
Right.
Because it's too late for you to impress your friends and family.
This evening.
This evening, yes. Unless you got on the phone and called somebody, but that could be annoying.
Please,
and you want to work these things into just natural conversation.
Right.
All right. So this is April 26th, 1819. The Oddfellows Lodge forms.
Oh, interesting.
And I say that because we've got a big old building that's now purple right here in Astoria that was the Oddfellows Lodge.
Yes.
And Captain Flavel was a member of the Oddfellows Lodge back on the East Coast.
Okay.
A little teaser for John Gutenberger's book someday.
Ooh, yes.
Okay. 1937, the Nazis, so you know this isn't going to be a good one, test new Air Force, the Luftwaffe, on the Spanish city of Guernica.
Mm.
They bombed the heck out of it, and it was the first time the city had really been kind of decimated.
Wow.
And lots of artists and poets and creative folks have written about this because it was just so horrific in everybody's mind because it was something new and different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1954, The Seven Samurai, a movie by Kurosawa, is released.
Oh.
Have either of you ever seen it?
I haven't. No.
See, I've only seen bits and pieces of it, but so many other, especially Western movies, are based on this. It's kind of a classic.
Hmm. Okay.
1977, Studio 54 opens in New York City.
Ooh, now I've seen that movie.
Have you?
Of course. You haven't?
I have not. I think there are several. Probably. 1986, the nuclear disaster at Chernobyl.
Mm.
Didn't we talk about the movie that was on HBO, the miniseries?
I don't remember.
I think you and I talked about this because it was really dark. The whole thing was just filmed. I mean, it wasn't black and white, but it kind of felt like it. And I was like, really? Is that, is it just always depressed and depressed looking in Russia? So that's the way it felt.
Yeah.
But the movie was actually pretty good, the miniseries.
Okay.
But our history highlight, a little fun fact, speaking of nuclear disasters, the college that I went to get my bachelor's degree, Elizabethtown College in Pennsylvania, it's the only American U.S. city college evacuated for nuclear disaster.
Okay.
Three Mile Island.
Oh,
I wasn't there when it happened, but...
But they were...
I had a history professor that liked to throw that fun fact out.
Yeah, not very fun, though.
So, in honor of you...
Yes.
Doctor, I can't remember your name now.
Yeah, I'm stuck with you.
But our history highlight of the day, how timely. 1954, the polio vaccine trials begin.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
Yes. Almost eradicated. This close.
This close, because Rotary fights it, and it's down to two countries?
Yep. Pakistan
and Afghanistan?
Right. So tough countries to,
But eradicating polio.
Yep.
Getting rid of it. No more.
Yes.
Don't have to worry about it.
We have another disease for them to help, or virus for them to help eradicate next. Rotary, we're calling your name.
There
was one more. 1994, Nelson Mandela wins the presidency in South Africa's first multiracial elections.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. 1994.
Wow. 20 some years in prison.
Late. Yeah. But I mean, just that year alone, that's their first. Yeah. So there you go.
There we go. But we have a guest.
We do.
So we always ask our guests to tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be in Seaside and in Oregon.
And her mic is falling to the floor.
Well, I'd be happy to tell you. I'm a native Oregonian and Seasider as well. So I've been here almost all my life and born in Albany, Oregon, and raised somewhere throughout the county, Seaside. Yeah.
And so but born in Albany, so then what brought your family here?
I guess mom and dad loved the coast and thought they'd just park it here, like everybody else who comes through town and loves Seaside.
And did you ever leave and come back, or have you stayed?
Well, you know, the proverbial getting married and leaving town and coming back. But other than that, we stayed. The family itself has stayed and planted roots here.
And so tell me a little bit about because you have lots of family in the area. So what has kept them here? Is it the same?
Well, you love it. I mean, isn't it gorgeous? It's the area itself just says, you know, stay and love and enjoy the Oregon coast. So, yeah.
And this is why she is the development or the executive director of the Seaside Downtown Development
That's
Association.
That's right. It sounded like a commercial for Seaside, more than your life.
You just have to love it, to enjoy it, to appreciate it, and to have the passion to be here.
So how did you find this job? Because it is an interesting job, because you could put either a local or a non-local in that position, because you are working for both, right? You're working to bring tourists here, but you're also working to bring business to your local community.
And there's a little sidebar, as we as association, we like to keep it a great place for our people who live here, because often when you have events throughout the town and the town is congested and terrible to get through town, and the locals will stay away and they won't come to town. And so that's part of our mission statement, is to do events and programs. So we want our locals to come downtown. This is their town. We want them to appreciate it. So it's a little bit of all that.
That's very true. So you've had an interesting year last year in 2020. Do you want to tell us how it went?
Yeah, how did that impact your organization, the businesses downtown, and all of Seaside?
Well, I'll start with the organization first. We're a 501c6, so that C6 is that hidden paragraph number that gets dropped from a lot of things as far as state handouts and federal handouts. So we didn't see a lot of action coming our way that was there for the doors of the business merchants, which was fantastic. But, you know, as a good nonprofit, you always take a look at what you have. You make sure you're sustainable. And we did. The board did that many, many years ago. And so we did okay. We made it through the year. We lost, of course, like everybody else, our major fundraising events. And so when you lose that major chunk of money, it affects you. But at the same time, we did fine. You know, when you look at what we do monetarily wise, I mean, our mission, Starfish Flower Basket fundraisers, those are really the grassroots of who we were and who we are. So we were able to keep those going and put the smile on people's faces by keeping that going. So, yeah, it was a tough year, but we're still there. We're doing great. We're fine. It was nice to be the rock, the backbone for anybody who called and said, "What happens if this? What happens if that?" And my computer was just going crazy, as well as I'm sure as everybody else is in my position, receiving things from the state and federal level. And so I was making sure I got it out to everybody so they had their information. And it pretty much was home base for that information to get it out. So that's what I stayed busy with.
Is there anything that sticks out for you for last year too, where your group your members as a group came together and they had an issue, whatever it may be, dealing with COVID, that they could, you know, sort of rally behind one another to solve or help one another through?
I think what stands out the most is we, as a group, started our, we always have had our weekly meetings. They were null and void for like maybe 3 months, but we got all back together, and that was the best thing we can do. So we can be there as a group to support each other, to explain, hey, I got this, did you get that? How did you do that? How did you do this? We were able to get back together as a group, and as a group discuss all the things that were happening in town, and what possibilities were going to be out there for them. So I think that was probably the most thing that stood out for me, is we were able to sustain that group weekly, and weekly grew to, you know, 14 to 30 to 40 people now. And that's phenomenal. And so I think that's the backbone for everybody, is to get together and have the minds and souls of everyone alike with you to talk that out. So
sure. And tell us about your meetings and who can attend.
They're open to the public, always have been, always will be. We used to be at Pig and Pancake Restaurant, but due to the seating capacity that they could not you know, have us there. The convention center, since they didn't have any events there, graciously opened their doors and said, you know, come on in. So we were able to social distance, set the tables up at two at a table, and then create that atmosphere for us to be there. And thank goodness for them. It's been great.
And that's kind of amazing that you were able to meet in person then.
In person.
Because so many groups are still even today not quite there yet. And the fact that you weren't getting that Zoom fatigue,
no.
That you could at least see each other from a distance.
Absolutely. I mean, we chose as a board to not do Zoom. At that time, it was just everybody who's on the board served on a lot of other boards and did a lot of other events, group meetings, rather. And so, no, that wasn't even an option. We all wanted to meet, see each other, and talk.
Yeah. So I might be putting you on the spot, but can you talk a little bit about the history of how long has your organization been around and
sure.
Who founded it and why?
Well, about 1997, the group, when I say the group, I mean downtown business people, decided it was time to help form this organization into a nonprofit. At that time, they felt that we had a wonderful chamber going strong, we had a visitor center going strong, and they were bringing a lot of people to town. So all these people are coming to town, and all these merchants are there, and we felt that we need to have a group gathering of how can we make this open our doors, be more hospitable. And so it was more like, what can we do to help all these people coming to town to make them feel more welcomed? And we did that as a group organization called the Seaside Downtown Development Association. So they formed with bylaws, they formed with a vision and a mission, and at that time they knew also we needed to incorporate our own locals, because we didn't want to excommunicate them from coming to downtown. They make the downtown. We're there for them as well. So we had all these together, and at that time they knew we needed to band and have a better idea of understanding of what we can do as a group to make that a beautiful downtown. Because people are coming. They're coming.
Oh, definitely. And I think sometimes people from afar that maybe aren't in a business downtown or mm-hmm. involved in the tourist industry, they see, well, there's a chamber, and then there's a visitor center, and now there's a downtown.
And I don't think
they quite understand that these each have different missions that may overlap,
and they may have a lot of similar
ideas.
Well, and there's not a month that goes by that I don't have that question to me with a new business or someone coming in. What's the difference? Why? Are you taking money from them? and absolutely not. We need all to function. We need that chamber. They do a fantastic job. We need the visitor center. They do a fantastic job. So we're just there. We have a parameter. We have a designated area for our downtown area, and everything we do, we stay within that parameter. We're not doing the whole town. We're just doing, from 2nd Avenue over to Avenue A to the Roosevelt to the prom. So it's a definite area that we work on, and we make sure the beautification's there. Flower baskets are done. Starfish are up, and then we help our organization, the downtown area, through anything they need to help being prosperous and going. So, no, it's a definite little square footage postage stamp area that we work on.
And your members, because Providence Seaside Hospital is a member,
can
exist outside that corridor.
Yes,
but
they can.
Because we want that area to thrive as well, right?
I mean, so
really, any business can still support STDA.
Any business can as well. It's the only difference you would see is if you're running for the board of directors, we have a distinct clause in there about how many can be from outside of the downtown area. And that's you want that, because you don't want outside area telling you what you're doing in your downtown area. But we want to have the input. So there's a certain number we can have. I believe it's two from the outside area. We have a 9-member board, and then only one paid position. So that's how we roll. Yeah.
And your flower baskets and starfish come at a pretty good sum. You want to tell us about that? I mean, it's fascinating because they're absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's truly what tourists, I think they think of when they think of Seaside. They think of the starfish.
Right, I think they become iconic to our town, the starfish especially. And when I say starfish, we have those beautiful lit starfish that are hanging on the downtown pole lights. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is our 20th anniversary, now that I think
I
of
love
it.
Wow.
Yeah, this year is our 20th anniversary of those. So the starfish and the flower baskets were one of the main anchors of the organization, the crux of it starting. They knew they wanted that beautification part of it in there. And to do that, we had to do fundraising. They aren't cheap. So we fundraise for both. Right now, we're in the midst of our flower basket fundraiser. We have 64 hanging flower baskets now, I believe.
Wow.
And that's a lot. And so we, and to put those up, it's, you know, it's a $20,000 project.
Yes.
So we fundraise for that, and we do very well with that. And it's really gratifying to see the funds coming in for that. They're all designated to that. It's designated to the flower baskets. Nothing else comes out of that but flower basket fund. We pay Nature's Helper, which is Pam Fleming. She waters them daily and takes care of them. And other than that, the rest is volunteers. From volunteers for getting the baskets when they arrive, putting them on their spots. City of Seaside for getting them hung with their with their cherry picker truck, and group effort.
Yeah. And I like that you've actually broke down and paid somebody to make sure they're watered, because best intentions, and maybe that business is going to say, I'll water the one in front of my place. But, you know, just at some point they're going to forget, and it's nice to know they're all taken care of. They're all going to be rich and bountiful and look fantastic.
Absolutely. And you're right. It's always the best intentions with everyone, but you're busy, and we get that. And we want to make sure that they just look gorgeous, and they do. By mid-September, they come in about right before Memorial weekend, so May 24th, and they're a little bit earlier. And then we take them down the mid-September, and they go all year long. So they're summer long, and they're just gorgeous.
They're stunning. Yeah, and when we say flower baskets, I mean, these are not the flower baskets outside my home. They're huge.
They're huge. I've had apartments smaller than some of those baskets.
Well, I've been told all watered and wet and heavy, they're over 200 pounds for one basket. So, it's a big one. And, you know, we also open the opportunity for anyone who'd like to purchase an individual basket, they can. Mm-hmm. It's $125, and then they come pick it up and take it home, and it's all theirs, you know. Mm-hmm. And they can have it. And those are nice. And I do that every year as well from my front yard. And I know that those plants that are in there were handpicked by Nature's Helper, Pam Fleming. She knows what grows in our area. She knows what's going to last. And they certainly do from May till September, so...
So speaking of things that last, I'm fascinated by the starfish, because first time I went through Seaside, that was one of the key things. I was like, that's pretty cool. I like those.
People get their photos taken.
So how often do those have to be replaced? Or are those all the originals? Or?
Great question. Well, originally, the program itself originally started as our way of putting up a holiday light. You know, in the I guess Christmas season or so, that was how it originally started. That would be our holiday lighting, and then people kept saying, "Leave them up year round. We love them." I'd have many emails from visitors, you know, saying, "Leave them up. I love them." And so then we thought, well, okay, you know, we can do that. And to our amazement, it was better for us to leave them up year round. When we would take them down and then somehow just setting for that few months and putting back up, we found that they wouldn't light back up. Mm. So, you know, lighting has gotten better through all the years now. The LED lighting's gotten better. So it was actually better for us to leave them up year round, and the lights just stay on until some of them actually go out, and then we take it down and replace it. But it's kind of saved us a little money actually just leaving them up year round.
Nice. I think it's better year-round.
Yes.
Yeah. And then that beautiful swag. Do you realize the swag going across Holiday and Broadway? It's a banner that stretches across and has fish that are float with bubbles. Yes. And that was a memorial swag for my mother. And at the time, she was the downtown director, and she was starting the campaign for the starfish, and she was working on that campaign when she had her heart attack. And so they graciously did all donations to the swag, and we raised enough money to buy the swag. And so that's the memorial swag of Donald Mespel.
That's very nice. I like that.
And that one does only stay up, you know, partial year, mm-hmm. because we have lots of great events that take the place with a real banner. Mm-hmm. But that's the only one that comes down part-time.
What a nice connection.
Yeah.
That's great.
So what are some of the events that are either for just locals or for tourists mainly, or for both?
We've got great ones. Unfortunately, you know, with light of the COVID year,
that we hope will come back someday.
Oh, I know. And I hear from locals and visitors alike. I mean, all the time. But we're hoping to do our wine walks, which are infamous. I mean, those have just been wonderful. We always have one in May, and we always have one in November, and generally 22 stops, which means stores that host a winery, and you have a wine glass, and off you go, and you have tastes of all the different Oregon wines, and that's been phenomenal. Those are our biggest fundraisers right there for two times a year. So we'll be happy to have that back when we can. And it's one of those events that gets people in the door of the merchant, and that's our mission. You know we sell 800 glasses. We know at least we're hoping those 800 people are going through your door. Mm. So it's up to the merchant then to do their selling. If they want to hand out coupons, if they want to say, hi, come back tomorrow. But reports are they do very well all weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's a great event. Our Seaside Golf Classic, we're just kicking off right now. That's in August. And again, we put that on a weekday that really isn't that busy for our merchants because that's typically Hood to Coast week. Mm-hmm. So midweek on Wednesday, we have our Golf Classic. And we host that along with Seaside Kids Incorporated. And then we split the bennies there. And so it's able to fund Seaside Kids and their goals and ours as well.
So I might be going into areas that you don't want to talk about, and you could just say, no, let's move on. But Hood to the Coast.
Yeah.
You know, in Astoria, for the cruise ships and then maybe Goonies Day, there's some merchants that say, it's terrible, it's not good for me, too many people, and my local regular customers can't come in. And then there's other people that are like, wow, this is my best day ever. So what do the downtown merchants in Seaside feel about Hood to Coast?
It's probably the same. I mean, you know, I couldn't sit here and say, you know, it's just awful for everybody because there's always another half that's fantastic for. Look what it's done for the schools and for the parks, for the town, and the money they receive for that. But, you know, downtown itself is kind of quiet because they're on the beach running or... Mm-hmm. You know, so I wouldn't even venture to say it's awful for the merchants because it's so great. It's a 50-50 split, you know, it's, yeah.
That's one of the things I always have to explain to people, like for the museums and Crabfest weekend when we have in-person Crabfests.
Right.
Is that's actually one of my lowest weekends in April because they're all out at the Crabfest having a good time.
Right, sure.
And then people say, so you hate Crabfest? I say, no, I don't hate it. It's great for the town.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, my hope is that either they spend an extra couple of days and do the museums, or maybe they realize there's a lot here, I have to come back.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But I do get, you know, they're out there doing the thing, and they're out on the beach doing Hood to Coast, so maybe they're not downtown, but it's still good for the town and good for the
community. You have to look at a bigger picture. It's not always just about us being the downtown. Yep. I mean, you want to think it's all about you, but a good organization knows it's not. You've got to look at everything.
Well said.
You know.
So, if you, as a local... and we have locals listening, of course. If you had a suggestion for something to do tomorrow for a family, let's say a family or a single adult maybe, what would be the excursion or adventure they should do in Seaside tomorrow?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's easy. You would want to start at one end of the Broadway and then just venture straight west. And you can do this two side streets. You can go, you know, north and south. But that's the walk. The walk itself is awesome.
So you park right there by Seaside Brewing, right? Or do you park across the street at the... down the street at the library?
Not as in Seaside Brewing's parking spot.
Correct, yes. By Seaside Brewing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have a plethora of a variety downtown, you know, from your antiques to art to just the goofy fun stuff. So, you know, there's a little bit of something for everyone. And then you throw in the foods that you can walk and eat with. I mean, there's a variety of those. And, there's just so much just to walk and talk and look. And then after you're done with that, you know, there's always the aquarium. That's always the biggie right there. Yeah. And then the Surrey. So, yeah, just when you do your walk, you'll get an idea of exactly where step two is.
So, you know, I have to correct both of you. You don't park at one end or the other. You park in the middle in the parking lot by the Candyman. So you can hit Candyman twice. And you can
the big parking lot
do
there.
The big wheel twice and get two things of taffy for free.
Well, there's a new parking lot now, too. I mean, a little ways away, right? Isn't there a new parking lot?
No. Where?
By Broadway Field, isn't there? No. Okay. That's out of the downtown corridor anyway.
That's
so
right.
Don't
so
park that far away.
She doesn't. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you're talking about by the visitor center?
Yes.
Yeah, that's always been there, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's the middle school parking lot, right?
Correct.
I thought there was another new parking lot. But there's plenty of parking.
We'll get to the bottom of it while we take a break.
That sounds good.
Shall we take a little break?
Sounds good.
We'll be right back on An Adventure in History.
April 12th, 1904. It's a doctor's business to study health. Doctors confidently recommend Harper Whiskey, sold by Ford & Stokes Company, Astoria, Oregon.
And welcome back to An Adventure in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital here this evening with Mac Burns and Lori Mespelt from the Seaside Downtown Development Association. Thank you for being with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Glad to have you here.
So when do you think tourism came back? When was it beginning to come back, or when will it totally be back?
Did it go away?
Oh, okay.
See, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't think it did. Are you referring to last year?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
During COVID, because we felt like it was pretty fast at the museums that we started seeing people even before we reopened. Because people would be calling us saying, aren't you open? We'd say, no, we're closed because of COVID. So I felt like there were visitors that were still coming here regardless.
Absolutely. And then some. No, I think they were coming no matter what. Mm-hmm. And you know, now that the kids were homeschooled and they could take their laptops with them, you know, they would do the 3 hours in the hotel room that they booked for the weekend and then head to town. So I think, no, it's been phenomenal.
That's great. How are people really, or how are businesses accommodating that change? Having
they're
people
tired,
here,
Alana, are they? They're tired. They, you know, they're used to fall coming, and then they have the break, and then their kids will go off to school, and then it's back to mom and pop or the three people that run it. But they have not had that break, so they're just tired.
Interesting.
But with a smile. I mean, we all know you love the income, you love your business, and you want it to go. So it's with a smile, I'm sure. But it's hard work. Really hard work. And then we have a problem right now in our town, and I don't know about others. I would assume it's hard to find workers.
That is for sure.
Yeah. You know, and that goes back to A, workforce housing, or B, they're just, where are they?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but 10 years ago when I moved here, I came to you and asked for help in finding a job. See, she doesn't remember. 10 years ago, you were so kind to me because I came in, I had no, you know, I came out of television and I was looking for jobs anywhere. And you actually helped point me in some directions and I applied for a job that I didn't get in Seaside, which is okay. But I ended up at the Astoria Warrenton Chamber of Commerce. You had pointed me to Skip, who I already knew, and Skip said, what? Nobody's hired you yet?
Yeah,
and I was
crazy.
About... hired very, very quickly. So thank you for that, Lori.
Absolutely.
You did not know me that all those years ago.
Oh my gosh.
But I do recall I even brought you my resume and said, so what do I do with this? You know, my background's in television. You know all these businesses down here. You have an interesting job, unique job. So thank you.
You're more than welcome. I do have a lot of people come my way as well, including people who want to do day work. And I'm like, oh, you know. But yes, you're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
And is that one of the functions, or is it just something that you do because it's the obvious thing that people are asking you? I mean, is that one of the jobs of actually like keeping
open? I think the title just says, come see me, you know. I don't know. I've gotten the oddest things and everything. So it's just, yeah.
She's one of the people that knows all the people.
Yes.
And those are the people that you want to talk to.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it does. It worked out very well.
Oh,
well,
good.
So, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's a good way to contact a website or email or to find out what's going on or any updates, things like that? What's a good way for people to find you?
Both. All three. Yeah.
You give those addresses?
Or? Yeah. Oh, well, I could do that. Yes. in fact, I just updated my website, which was a chore in itself. On the downside of having this past year lead a little bit slower, it enabled me to get caught up on things that really desperately needed to be caught up. So website is seasidedowntown.com. There's ways you can reach me through there, or you can call on the phone, 503-717-1914. And email at admin@seasidedowntown.com.
Great. Fantastic. And if somebody wants to make a donation, they can do it that way. Any one of those three.
Yeah, the
as
website's
well.
A great way to make it, or they can just give me a call and I'll either come to them or, you know, they can come to me. So donations are always accepted. You know, as I stated earlier, our starfish and our flower baskets are ongoing year round. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, yeah. Or be a member. I mean, you know, membership's important to us. It's not certainly not on the top 3 money make income for us, but we're, you know, we'd love to have you and have you part of us and get certain things that only memberships would get. So yeah,
that's great.
Fantastic.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.